Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Quantum Intellectual Property 2018 half-year results call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. At which time, if you do wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 22nd of February, 2018. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Quantum's Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Leon Allen. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us at Quantum's first half 2018 results presentation. I'd like to begin by introducing Martin Cleaver, Quantum's Chief Financial Officer, who's with me to speak to the financial results as part of the presentation. As you know, Quantum issued a trading update on the 13th of February to advise the market of decline in first half revenues. The final audited figure was 4.5% decline total revenues compared to corresponding 2017 first half. Second half. As explained, and as I will elaborate in this presentation, this was largely due to reduced patent prosecution and advisory revenue sourced from offshore. A full-year forecast EBITDA was provided with the trading update. This forecast is a range of 19 million-22 million. Turning to the slides, I'll firstly address the key business features and financial summary, which commences at slide five. As I said, the revenue decline was 4.5% to 49.2 million versus the prior corresponding period. This reflected weaker overall patent revenue, mainly attributable to lower prosecution and advisory business, specifically from incoming overseas sourced work. The decline in patent revenues was not able to be offset by a pleasing increase in trademark revenues and increase in litigation legal revenue. Operating expenses were reduced by 2.3% to 30.3 million. We undertook some significant corporate restructuring initiatives. We expect these to generate annualized cost savings of approximately 3.9 million. However, there was a restructuring cost during the half of 1.9 million. Underlying EBITDA, excluding the 1.9 million in restructuring costs and 600,000 related to share-based payments, was 9.4 million, a 16% decline on the prior comparable period. The company generated a strong operating cash flow and continues to maintain a strong balance sheet and increased its dividend payout ratio to 90% of net profit after tax and amortization. A number of actions were taken or are in train to enhance revenue generation in future periods. These included, and I'm just on slide six, my apologies. These included lateral recruitment of two experienced IP teams in trademark and patent advisory prosecution areas. We'll see the benefits of that over the next six to 12 months. We've also undertaken increased business development and marketing expenditure, targeted new client attraction, and increased business from existing clients. Looking at the business overview, slide eight shows the historical half-year trend for revenue by sources of business for the group. As mentioned, overall patent revenue declined 8.5% to a comparable FY 2017 half year. Trademark revenue has increased by 3.5% in the same period, and legal litigation revenue by 16.7%. You will observe that there tends to be some second half seasonality in revenue, and this is more pronounced at the EBITDA level. Turning to slide nine, we show the service charge components of revenue across the business. Despite having decreased relatively, patent service charge remains the largest component at 69%. Trademark service charge has increased and now represents 18%, and legal litigation has also increased to represent 13%. These two latter sectors provide some diversification across the group revenues. The patent service charge movement half on half has mainly been affected by the lower level of incoming work from overseas, particularly prosecution and advisory activity, whilst the Australian domestic activity has been flat. Moving right along to slide 10. Total Australian patent applications declined by approximately 2% compared to the corresponding half of FY 2017. Quantum experienced a decline of 12% in Australian patent filings and a corresponding reduction of 1.7% in market share. This represents a decline in activity across the Quantum client base in the half. It is not attributable to loss of clients. I'll point out that the patent application filing revenues represent less than 10% of the total patent revenues and therefore have a slightly smaller effect. By far the largest impact on patent service charge revenue was the result of a sudden reduction in offshore patent prosecution work over November and December compared to the same months of the prior financial year. The overall effect, as I said, was a decline of 8.5% in patent revenue compared to the last half year or corresponding half year. The decline is linked to a processing throughput of patent applications, although the cause is not completely clear. It may in part trace back to filing movement some time ago and a changeover in examination criteria and time available to overcome objections as legislative changes of 2013 washed it through the system. Our current analysis of processing indicates a return to the level of patent prosecution revenue seen in the several months before November and December 2017 for the balance of 2018. On the positive side, foreign associate revenue was stable and Singapore revenues have increased by 44% from a low base to provide a modest contribution to EBITDA. We are actively addressing the future revenue generation by taking a number of initiatives as outlined on slide 11. There's an increased investment in business development and marketing activities reflected in a higher level of expenditure commencing in the last half. This includes targeted marketing activities designed to attract and retain higher value clients, enhance our position in specific geographies and other business sectors. As one example, over 200 principal days were devoted to attracting new business during the half. This has included direct engagement with a large number of multinational businesses, and this higher level of activity will continue. Our approach to lateral recruitment continued, and two new principals were attracted, of benefit to our Melbourne patent area and our Sydney trademark businesses in particular. The charts on slide 12 graphically illustrate the movements in total filings and market share that I've just spoken to, namely decline in overall patent filings in Australia, a proportionally greater decline in Quantum's filings and hence market share position. Contrary to the weakness in incoming Australian filings, there are some positive trends elsewhere, and please refer to the graphs on slide 13. The first highlight is the total group patent cases at the highest level in the analysis period. This geographic filing diversity will assist to offset future fluctuations in incoming Australian patent prosecution work. Within this, the total incoming filings to Singapore decreased over the period, as did the filings by the Singapore office. Despite this, the Singapore office patent revenues increased by 32%, while overall revenues, including trademarks, increased by 44%. Also, very pleasingly, a recently published survey by the Intellectual Property Office of Singapore listed DCC Asia in the top 10 filing firms for the first time. The World Intellectual Property Organization's published statistics also show Davies Colson Cave Asia as responsible for 5.8% of the PCT applications filed in Singapore. These are usually the second stage of the Singapore originating filings. The first stage of originating filings in Singapore by Davies Colson Cave Asia remains stable from the comparable period, which is pleasing given the increase in that comparable period. Filings across the rest of Asia have increased by 29%, and our filings and what we call the rest of the world are up 23%. The chart on the right shows those overall patent cases secured, and despite the decline in Australia, a growth in PCT filings has been observed. The rest of the world also includes New Zealand filings, which show a modest market share improvement from 10.2% to 10.9%. The filings in New Zealand are done directly by DCC and FPA. Importantly, the total PCT applications I mentioned, which represent the original work across the group and provide the basis for our future revenue, are up 24%. Slide 14 shows some Australian trademark filings by group and firm. Quantum Group trademark filings increased by 7.8%, with Davies Colston Cave maintaining its clear number one position of the Australian trademark firms. As I mentioned earlier, trademark service charges make up 18% of the total service charge, and the revenues increased by 3.5% to $8.9 million. Trademark filings in Asia and New Zealand are also growing well, as shown on slide 15, with strong increases in Singapore and Malaysia, as well as New Zealand. As I've mentioned at least once, the Singapore office revenue has increased by 44%, albeit off a low base. Our legal litigation revenues have been strong for the first half, increasing by 16.7% to $4.9 million. The current caseload for legal litigations is expected to be maintained for the second half, and it's very pleasing to note that we're seeing referrals from clients from FPA to DCC litigation services. Finally, for the moment, slide 17 summarises our efficiency and restructuring initiatives. There are a couple of things to note. We continue to progress system improvements and integration across the two businesses. Our operating expenses have been well contained and in fact reduced, despite a higher marketing expenditure in the first half. And quite major business reconfiguration activities took place in the half to align the organisation with business conditions, as well as ensure resourcing future growth. With that, I'd like to hand over to Martin to give an update on the financial results.
Thanks, Leon. If we go to slide 19, this shows the underlying profit and loss statement for the half. Comparative numbers adjust for the significant IPO and other listing related adjustments. Underlying current half numbers adjust for material one-off items, i.e. restructuring costs and share-based payments. As we've discussed, service charge revenue of $38 million is 5.5% down against the prior comparative half, whilst total revenue is down 4.5%. This drop was all in the Australian patent business. Whilst we've seen an overall market drop in patent filings, the largest impact on Quantum results, as Leon has mentioned, is the decline in overseas prosecution work, and these shortfalls were particularly evident in the November and December months. Partially offsetting the patent revenue drop were strong performances by the trademark and legal areas, showing growth of 3.5% and 16.7% respectively. These businesses now account for 31% of service fee revenue. The Asia operating segment is also growing in line with our expectations. Operating expenses of $30.3 million were 2.3% below the prior comparative half and 1.3% lower than the immediate preceding half. Staff costs declined 2.2%, which was a good result considering that this included the impact of CPI increases, internal promotions and lateral hires. The major impact was the back office savings that were implemented at the start of the calendar year 2017. Savings were also achieved in occupancy and technology costs of $0.3 million, offset by increased marketing costs of $0.2 million, or 32%. During the half, the business embarked on a restructuring program to align business resourcing with market conditions, which saw a reduction in both back office and professional staff. The cost of this program was $1.9 million and will produce annualised savings of $3.9 million in FY19, with some savings flowing through in H2 18. Underlying EBITDA was $9.4 mil compared to $11.8 mil in H1 17, the drop also factoring in a $0.6 mil negative movement in FX. The EBITDA margin has been adversely impacted by the revenue drop going straight through to the bottom line, and we would expect to see this lift in half two. Turning to slide 20, this shows the strong cash flows that the business generates. Cash from operating activities was $8.3 million, slightly lower than half 1/17, but still reflecting a high cash conversion. CapEx spend on IT and fit-outs continues to be at low levels. The net cash movement is obviously impacted by the payment of the final dividend of $7 million, but there was still capacity to further pay down the borrowing facilities. The next slide shows that the group's balance sheet is strong, with net debt reducing to $6.7 mil from $7.4 mil at June and from $12.4 mil at H1 17. There is plenty of capacity in the banking facilities and all banking covenants are well below requirements. The debtor book is of high quality with minimal write-offs or provisions required. Pleasingly, the strong cash position means that we're able to declare an interim dividend at 90% of NPATA, up from 80% in previous periods. Slide 22 contains the statutory to underlying profit reconciliation and shows the impact of the restructuring and share-based payment costs in the half. We'll now move on to the forecast and business priorities section of the presentation. Turning to slide 24, this reiterates the 2018 full-year forecast that was outlined in the trading update. We expect second half revenue and EBITDA to be higher, to produce an EBITDA outcome in the range of $19 million to $22 million. As noted in the slide, the lower end of that range assumes a flat half-on-half patent outcome, but an improvement on the December result. A small uplift in the trademark business, as has been the pattern in recent years, and a similar result from the legal litigation business, as in half one. Operating expenses will get a benefit from the restructuring program implemented in the first half, and therefore should decline in the second half. I'll now hand back to Leon for some further comments on the business priorities for Quantum.
Thank you, Martin. To finish, I'd just like to summarise our priorities for the next half, which are set out on slide 25. We'll be focusing on revenue generation through targeted business development, marketing initiatives, and that's a major area. Our bias to incremental low capital expansions will continue. We'll continue to be focused on growing our Southeast Asian presence, and by doing so, utilising FBA patent attorneys and David Colson Cave's international client connections through the regional offices. There'll be an ongoing focus on organisational structure, resourcing and efficiencies, and that should always be taken as a given. We'll be focusing on the development of programs for the advancement and career progression of our key professionals, which of course are critical to our business operation. With that, I'll welcome questions from those online.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We now begin the question and answer session. To ask a telephone question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel a request, please press the pound or hash key. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one to ask a telephone question. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one to ask a question. But our first question queued is from Sam Haddad from Bell Potter. Please ask your question, Sam.
Good morning, Leon. Good morning, Martin.
Sam.
Just on your guidance again. So, first of all, what's the FX rate that we're assuming for the balance of the year?
No change to the first half rate, Sam. So we're not in estimating any FX, major FX impact in second half.
And that rate was, I'm just looking for it.
Depends which rate you use, but it's somewhere around the mid-77s.
Okay. So just to, in terms of the bottom end of guidance, you said a reversion back to so you're implying flat half on half, second half versus first half, is that right, on patents for the bottom end?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. What's the top end, just so I understand that again, please? What are you assuming there?
Well, we think if at the top end, if the patent business reverts to sort of somewhere in the region of 4 to 5% growth, then and it's coming off a reduced base, that is certainly not out of the realms of possibility.
I recognise January is a seasonally quiet month. Just can you comment on how you're seeing things at the moment?
We don't have any useful data, Sam, at this point. Our results for each month is heavily skewed towards the end of the month, so we really can't make a call until we get to the end of that month.
So January is in line with our expectations, Sam. So,
yeah.
Which was our revised forecast that the second half has been done on.
Yeah. So we're assuming your market, you regain market share to get to the bottom end, or thereabouts.
I think that we were talking of. I thought you said that, and we agreed with you. that we're going to just look flat on flat for second half for the bottom of the range, and that means any improvement in market share will actually take us up through the range.
Right. Okay. Just on the cost out initiatives, in terms of the restructure, just wondering why it's 0.9 this half and not half the amount.
There was not all the redundancies were effective as in out the door as at 31 December. So there is a transitioning of some of those professional staff through the second half.
Okay. More particularly, Sam, what we must do is make sure that we transition our clients smoothly and seamlessly, and we're spending a little bit of extra money on doing that.
Yeah. And if in a situation where things normalise, is that cost out permanent, or do you have to reinvest in staff again? If you go back to that 14.5% market share, do you have to hire staff to support that, or is that 3.9 million cost out permanent?
I think it's permanent. A large component of it is the realisation of the efficiencies that we've been talking about ever since we started talking, and you only bring those in as you achieve the reductions in headcount. Those efficiency-based ones are permanent. In terms of capacity, we have still a significant amount of capacity to do with that work on the more efficient basis. So I think the answer is that we think they're permanent.
Okay. And just on those projects, just a bit more colour. I think we're talking about three areas of efficiencies: the business to government, automation, electronic filing, which you talk about in one of the slides, and just also efficiencies in your financial functions. Just can you talk through each of those projects and when the full benefits will hit, have a benefit to your accounts?
I can. A lot of these things, Sam, are quite incremental, and I'll begin with the electronic files. We are approximately halfway across the group with implementation of electronic files. Those benefits ultimately result in, or that system ultimately results in a benefit through just less hands involving paper across the firm. It takes a while to transition those systems, and then the ultimate realisation of them is a lower workforce to do that work, so that it takes a little while for that to all flow through. So you will have seen a little bit of it trickling through as we go, but most of it the other half, I would estimate, and it's a little bit hard to pin it down precisely, but over the next 12 months, we should start to see the full benefit of that bit.
Okay.
Insofar as the electronic filing program is concerned, we've not seen any benefit from that yet. We are running that system with Davies, Coles and Cave in parallel at the present time, but that in fact implies that we're doing twice as much work as we need to be. But as I've said a million times, we need to be very cautious on this implementation. And when we're happy that it's bedded down, we will start to phase out the duplication, and we'll start to see some efficiency. But again, it's going to take 12 months or so for that to kick in, I think. And so you'll be seeing most of the benefit in next financial year. The other area, go on.
In terms of the finance platform, Sam, that will have a go live date of July this year, so we won't see the ongoing benefits of that until the FY19 year.
Okay. Right, so it's all about 12 months away across those three projects, broadly speaking?
A trickle across those 12 months, yeah. I mean, it's not a step function, it comes in gradually.
Yeah. Okay, that's all from me. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sam.
Our next telephone question comes from Joshua Baker from Paragon Funds Management. Please ask your question, Joshua.
Hi guys, I just wanted to talk more about the competitive dynamic in the market, just off the back of the increase in marketing expenses. I know you've lost share relative, but probably more broadly of the market. There's a lot of boutiques setting up, offering more fixed costs, structured costs. And I understand, just at least from anecdotal evidence, is these patent filing groups who tend to offer cheaper rates for PCT filings and the like, and I'm just wondering if you provide any commentary on that and what sort of impact that might have for the ability to you and your peers to, you know, maintain strong revenue for some levels of pattern work.
Thanks, Joshua. The position is that, yes, there are some, you know, some other entrants into the market. At the present time, and I think for the foreseeable future, it's marginal around the edges. If you look at the major competitors in this area, all are holding a very significant market share, and yes, ours has moved around a little, but it's not within the variations that I haven't seen before. Most importantly, we're not seeing an exit of some significant clients that's driven that, but our analysis shows us that it's pretty much across the board a quietening down of the particular basket of clients we've got. Now, from time to time, that has happened previously, and I've seen when it was Davies Coles from Cave move a little bit contrary to the other market, but in both directions, I'm pleased to say, both upwardly and downwardly. So I don't think that what we're seeing at the moment is an effect of the alternative offerings, to use a generic term. And indeed, what we're telling you is that the major shortfall here is in our patent prosecution revenue, which is not something that's we can tell whether that's going somewhere else, and I know it's not. So that which is a major contributor to our current shortfall is not influenced by that sector.
Yeah. Further to that, what sort of impact do you see from changes in resulting from the Productivity Commission report a year ago, stepping up fees, reduction or elimination of the innovation patent system, as well as global initiatives and further expansion of the prosecution highway, which aims to streamline process. So, you know, for me, logically, that would say there's less time spent on applications, you know, less ability to charge. I guess if you've got any comments around these sort of changes in the market dynamic.
Yeah, look, the changes, first of all, take a very, very long time to implement, but nonetheless, they are foreshadowed. The Productivity Commission changes, really, I can't identify any particular impact that they'll have on the business. There'll be some changes, but it really is very much a second-order thing. You know, for example, the innovation patents, that isn't done and dusted yet, but assuming it goes ahead, it's a very, very small component of our business. It's so small that I'm not even sure what it is, but it is not significant. And to some extent, if people can't use innovation patent, then they'll try for a standard patent. So, I think the effect's very low. The other sort of significant changes in the Productivity Commission recommendations are things like playing around with patents extension of term and so forth. Again, look, it's a revenue line, but it's not a big one. It's not going away completely. It's just moving the deck chairs a bit. Davies Coles and Cave has by far the biggest share of that sort of work, but even then it doesn't amount to a lot. So I don't think those things are going to cause a problem. Globally, these things are always hard to predict, but we've had on the horizon all sorts of storm clouds apparently for the last 35 years I've been in the profession, and more particularly in the last 10, where there's been more talk of the PPH and other streamlining measures. Any of them are really yet to be seen in any significant numbers and to be put into effect. So I can't say that they won't have an impact, but the reality is that the impact they'll have will be, if any, will be incremental, and will push us into other areas of activity. And in that regard, I would direct you back to what I was saying about our overall filing profile, where we have actually filed more patent applications than ever before. I can't say if ever before in the analysis period, but I'm pretty certain that is ever before. That includes, a down in the Australian applications. So what you're seeing for us is, the execution of a strategy, albeit slowly, of trying to take diversify our geographic base and the impact of movements in the Australian patent climate, if you like, and that's been a deliberate strategy, which I've mentioned since the day we came to market, of trying to increase the local client base and the originating client base, so that we have less effect. Now, we've got a way to go there, and undoubtedly it still has an effect, as you can see. But that, to me, it's very pleasing that we've got that growth, that will underpin in the future more insulation from that revenue. It won't eliminate it, but it will mitigate somewhat.
Yeah. And just another question. There's a new code of conduct for patent attorneys. It's, I think it comes into effect tomorrow, and I guess it sort of seems to be highlighting or tightening the screws on conflicts of interest. And I know you still operate under two separate entities, effectively. But what sort of issues can arise from that? You know, between the two businesses, how much of your client book would be in competing? Would be competing entities where, you know, any issues that could potentially arise that could see, you know, clients have to move?
Sure. Well, first, start at the beginning. The code of conduct's been revised largely because in its current guise, as of today at least, it did not really take account of the possibility of corporatisation and a common ownership of different firms. So it's been updated to reflect and take account of that. For the most part, I think it's fair to say that the overall principles have not changed. And when Quantum was formed, we took great care in designing a system that would work within the existing framework and what we thought would be best industry practice. Pleasingly, the code that has been promulgated and will come into effect tomorrow almost exactly mirrors the practice that we adopted well in anticipation of those changes. And that is based on the operational separation of the businesses at a professional level so as to preserve the client confidentiality. And that's precisely what the code and the amendments to the code recognise and provide for. So we do not see any problem whatsoever for our clients. Not that the position does not change because what we've been practicing reflects what will be required as of tomorrow. So I'm very happy with the outcome. And in fact, I'm very grateful that it's been codified and made clear so that everybody can see that there is no issue whatsoever.
Yeah, and just if I can, so obviously one of your listed peers in the space is looking to merge sub-operating businesses. I guess, does that preclude you from doing the same to find further cost savings and extractions? Because, see, that's what your peer has predicated that merger on.
Look, I can't speak for my peers. They've got business reasons for doing what they want to do. We've got business reasons for operating the way we do. But I think it's plain that they've obviously done their homework and formed the view that they can achieve something through doing that. That's good. We won't be doing that. It doesn't suit our business, and that's just the way it is. It depends on the particular group of businesses you have.
Okay. Yep. That's all from me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one to ask a telephone question. And we have another question from Sam Haddad from Bell Potter. Please ask.
Yeah, just a couple of quick follow-on questions, please. What's your headcount now in your Singapore office? I just couldn't find it in your preso.
That's not in there. Crikey, Sam. I'm Sam, a quick middle block. It's 10, I believe, is the correct number.
And how many professionals? Patent attorneys?
Patent attorneys and lawyers are 8.
Okay. And just finally, sensitivity, that's still consistent with your perspectives of 0.9 in terms of currency on service charge for 1 cent movement or 1% movement?
Sam, I think I'm smiling.
Sorry, it's 0.7 million on EBITDA. Is that still the same?
We've not had it redone, so that's the headline number. The reality is, Sam, that I've always smiled whenever we talk about that because it just never works out. Whenever I see a movement and then I cross-check the calculation, they never line up. That 0.7 is very it over-allows. And I think that's simply because we immediately react to any changes and try and pull a few levers and adjust to take account of it. So, I've said before, we haven't had it for a little while. When it's going our way, we'll spend a bit of money, and when it's not, we'll try not to spend a bit of money. But also, across that, we do run an ongoing hedging policy. Most of the time, we're hedged, and that smooth, you know, you can't control the long-term movements, but that smooths out the short-term ripples. So the short answer is I don't believe that number, but that's what's on the record.
Okay. Thank you again.
No problem.
Once again, it is star one. There are no more further questions from the telephones. I'd like to hand the call back to the speakers for any continued remarks. Please continue.
Thank you very much, Kevin. No, we have no further comments, so I thank everybody for their interest and taking the time to hear what we've got to say in, during what I think has been a pretty busy time for everybody. So thank you. And that concludes the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the call for today. Thank you for all participating. You may all disconnect. Goodbye.